You may be seated. We turn now to our next to last sermon from Paul's letter to the Colossians, a letter where he has made it very clear, Jesus plus nothing equals everything. We do not add to the gospel. We do not have extra things to help us be made right with God. But having been made right with God, we do have lives to live that should be lives that adorn that confession that Jesus is all we need. And so as we turn now, I'm picking up in our instructions at the end. Last week we saw instructions about the Christian household and our, in some ways that would also related to our vocations. Those instructions followed verse 17, which says, "Whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." So with that as our kind of opening, overarching theme, we turn now to chapter 4, verses 2 through 6, further instructions on the Christian life. "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the Word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever." Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Help us behold wondrous things in it this day. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. These are very simple instructions today, and as I think of a way, I've already given you one overarching theme, doing everything that we do to the glory of God the Father. As another way to kind of put them in kind of something to hold them together, everything we're going to say here in the next few minutes does have something to do with our speech, with the way that we talk. And the first point, our talking with God, and the second point, our talking with others. And so, I guess, kind of as a way of introducing it, again, doing everything through Christ, and then in His name, for Him, in thanksgiving, a couple of passages, again, to lead us, that has to do with the heart and with speech. Back in the Proverbs, there's one that I think is just one of those particularly special Proverbs that is kind of one of those to help us lead our, as we lead our lives, Proverbs 4:23 and 24. Again, this is just kind of some introduction things to kind of foundational truths that I think Paul is picking up on. Proverbs 4:23 and 24. "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech, and put devious talk far from you." So way back in the Proverbs, Solomon telling us a couple of important things here are, it is to keep our hearts, that is our whole person, deep within who you are as a person. Guard who you are as a person, because from your heart flow springs of life. And he immediately applies it with our speech. Put away from you crooked and devious speech. Jesus then picks up on this, and this is in Matthew 12. Again, another one that I think I always in my mind connect to that proverb. In the middle of 24, and again, he's talking about knowing a tree by its fruit. His last part of verse 34, Matthew 12:34, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." And kind of a famous application of that is that the drunkard, when the drunkard's just talking, and you hear him say things you're not expecting. Well, and everything in that heart that's coming out now because he's drunk was already there. It's just it took the spirits to bring it out. You know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. When we speak, that's why we want to guard our tongues. But out of the overflow of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so Paul, as he is kind of winding down his instructions, and this is the last bit of instructions before he turns to his long closing that we're going to look at next week. He's giving us what I've put some instructions for life in this world, what other pastors have called nuts and bolts of the Christian life. Here we are. How is he beginning now the very conclusion of this letter? Well, preparing through prayer, witnessing through wisdom. Let's think about prayer for a few moments. One of the ways we use our speech, there's many ways we use it. Today we're looking at prayer and then talking with others. So talking with God and then talking with, in a sense, others, kind of maybe outside the immediate bounds of the church. First, he says, as you now living your life, knowing that all, that Jesus is who you need, and that now we want to live for Him, continue steadfastly in prayer. We might ask the question, how can I, let's go back to last week, how can I be the wife or the husband I need to be? How can I be the parent or the child I need to be? How can I be the employee or the boss I need to be? I must continue steadfastly in prayer in order to live life in this world. He assumes we're already praying because he says, continue steadfastly in prayer. As he's bringing his teaching to kind of to a climax before he then gives greetings to all these people, he's saying, listen, pray, pray, pray. Spiritual maturity involves prayer. Continued prayer. He's asking you what comes out of your mouth. What ought to come out of your mouth is prayer to the God who made you, to the Christ who redeemed you, through the work of the Spirit who is working in you. Continue steadfastly in prayer. How do we measure ourselves spiritually? Truly, y'all, it's through our speech and through our prayer. So, again, I'm saying preparing true prayer, witnessing through wisdom, preparing as we go about our lives in this world, as we seek to whatever we do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we must prepare ourselves for that life, our daily life, through prayer. There's some wonderful Christian wisdom from the past. I think it's both Martin Luther in particular and John Wesley. These were two men of prayer, and basically, I think they both, in one way or another, discussed that they spent hours in prayer, knowing that all the things they had before them. They said, you know, how can I not but take? You know, a lot of us imagine we're so busy. I have a couple of seconds to just throw a prayer up. They would spend hours in prayer because they knew they needed it in order to actually and to get the things done they needed to get done, that they could then do very efficiently, having then put the time in first in prayer. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Let's think real quickly about those two parts of it, being watchful in it. This immediately makes me think of Jesus. What did he say to his apostles in the garden? Watch yourself. Guard yourself. Jesus was going over to pray by himself, knowing that he was going to be crucified for our sins, receive God's wrath. And he tells them, be watchful. Pray. Be alert. He told them, be alert. Like us. They fell asleep when they were trying to pray. We do the same thing, don't we? At least at night when we're in bed, it's a great thing. At least we fall asleep in prayer. But during the day when we pray, I know we all have the same things. Our minds wander. This is a tough discipline. But when we stick to it, you all know, you'll grow. We come to commune with God as we pray. But he says, do it watchfully. Be watchful in it. The devil is prowling around like a roaring lion. He wants to devour you. Be watchful in it. Also do it with thanksgiving. That's the same thing that he said back in verse 17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. As one pastor said, not to pray is to live like an atheist. And we know we can do that. We can go... We can go through day after day. Honestly, y'all know this. We can get up and take off with the busyness of each day, day after day after day, and then, you know, all of a sudden, you know, like it's Thursday, and we say, Lord, where have I been? Where have you been? What have I been doing? Lord, I need you. So it's just real simple. We need prayer. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it. Again, a couple of things come to my mind here. Resist the devil and he will flee. Flee temptation. That's part of this being watchful. And we come with thanksgiving. All that we have is from God. Now he then applies, just for a moment here, he starts thinking about their ministry. Here's Paul, he's in prison writing these letters. He's ministering. People in Caesar's household are coming to know the Lord. The word is traveling. The word is spreading even through his imprisonment. And he's saying that even as he is in prison, he says, here's some particular prayers. Pray also that God may open to us a door for the word. You remember in Acts, we hear about Paul. There's times that he would ask God to open a door, and sometimes God closed one door here, but open another door here, and he would send Paul here. He's saying, listen, I'm in prison, but God is at work. Pray for me, he says, that God may open a door, that I may declare the mystery of Christ. This is why I'm in prison. I'm in prison for declaring Christ. Pray that I may, very even from prison, continue to proclaim it and make it clear, that I may speak the truth clearly. This is how I ought to speak. That I may make it clear. Over in 2 Corinthians 4:2, he said something like this. He says, as he is telling the Corinthians about his own ministry, he says, look, we've renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word, but by open statements of the truth, we commend ourselves to you. He's saying pastors and teachers, so preachers in particular, but this includes Sunday school teachers, this includes all of us as we speak, speak it clearly. We just tell the truth clearly. We speak the truth in love, but we don't stand here and make excuses. We don't stand here and speak around the truth so that people won't get upset with us. Pray, people, that I would speak the gospel clearly, teach the Bible clearly, that all in our church with who have opportunities to, and that all ministers of the word pray, and our missionaries, that they would just have this simple thing, make it clear, which is how we ought to speak, speaking the truth clearly. Sinclair Ferguson said, you want to improve your minister's sermons? And I know my sermons need help. And I know y'all are more gracious than I deserve, but he says, pray for them. Pray for them. You want to improve your minister's sermons? Pray for your ministers. So pray for me. Even pray as I'm deciding what's next after Colossians next week, that I'll come to the right text. I'm kind of feel like I know where I'm heading. I'm going to ask a couple of the elders to think about it, what I'm thinking about. But Tertullian, wrote of prayer. Tertullian was one of our church fathers. He lived from 155 to 220. Here's what he said about prayer. Prayer cleanses from sin. Prayer drives away temptations. Prayer stamps out persecutions, comforts the faint-hearted, gives new strength to the courageous, brings travelers safely home, calms the waves, confounds robbers, feeds the poor, overrules the rich, lifts up the fallen, supports those who are falling, sustains those who stand firm. Prayer. Y'all know I'm in the car right now a lot, going back and forth to Birmingham. So I listen. That's when I listen to Washington Watch, sometimes in the afternoon. I also get to hear Harry Reader. You know, Briarwood has their own radio station. I mean, isn't that crazy? They have their church with its own radio station, but they put great stuff on there. So they have Harry Reader does his own little daily kind of analysis of the news, and then on Fridays they let him ask questions. And so somebody brought up the praying for Damar Hamby, that ball player. You know, lots of people, CPR is done every day on a lot of people, okay? But on that particular Monday night, it happened to be done on a ball player, and everybody was watching, so everybody got all excited about this. The game was actually canceled. In fact, an NFL game next week might have to be played at a neutral site because of that, but they let it go. These players watched a fella, and this is what's kind of cool that hadn't even thought about this. Harry Reader, when the caller, you know, they wouldn't have had this on the radio. You can look this up and listen to it on the WLJR. A person brought this up, and Harry said, you know, it appears that Damar Hamby was without oxygen for maybe 15 minutes. And Harry said, I don't often declare something a miracle, but a lot of people were praying. And so there's two parts to this. One thing Harry says is, you know, it appears God did answer very specifically this prayer for this young man who probably should not have had what appears to be complete recovery of all his faculties. And but the caller was also saying, hey, is it Coach Joe out at, is his name Joe? The coach out in Oregon who's been going to court for 7 years for just kneeling and praying, and finally, you know, he won his case. But they're like, I don't see anybody going to court right now. He's like, everybody just seems to be praying, you know, for this. And, you know, Dan Orlovsky, an ESPN fella, have y'all seen that clip when he prayed on NFL Live? Look it up, y'all. I mean, the next day he just said, thoughts and prayers, thoughts and prayers, thoughts and prayers. I got to pray, y'all. And so the person next to him, Marcus Spears, says, yes, you do it. He basically says, Dan says, it's on my heart. And he says, yes, it is. And of course, sitting next to him is, I mentioned her name. She's married to a player that played baseball at Alabama. So Dan just prays. And I don't know if y'all have heard it. It's just, it's so honest. He says, look, I'm gonna close my eyes and I'm going to pray. And it's so funny. He says, I don't know if this is the right thing to do, but I'm going to do it. And you know, then he does. He prays. All the NFL websites for all the teams had pray for Damar. Look, y'all, I shared a devotion with my staff at the hospital. Look, y'all, I know some of y'all think, man, we do this every day. But I said, you know, God's at work. God chose this particular instance to bring a lot of prayer for this young man, and God answered. I don't know. I don't think I've shared that in here, but it's one of those moments we need to kind of, you know, rejoice in God. And yeah, it doesn't look like I'm not aware of anyone being fired for this, for that praying for Damar that over that time. It's fascinating. Prayer. Continue steadfastly in prayer. Also, witness through wisdom. He says, I don't know what's in Paul's mind. God does, as he inspired him through the Holy Spirit. He moves from prayer to, again, his mind then goes to this as he's writing this. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer each person. Let me just mention, he says here, let your speech be gracious, seasoned with salt. What that's saying, the actual words in Greek there is saying, as you're speaking about God's grace, there's also going to be kind of a bite. There's going to be the salt. There's going to be something that makes it real. This isn't just sort of generic, random acts of kindness. This isn't just kind of positivity. This is speech, gracious speech about the Lord, but it's real. It's talking about what Jesus has done for you. It's talking about that God is real. Talking about, again, that Dan Orlovsky, he'd heard enough about thoughts and prayers. As a generic concept, thoughts and prayers, honestly, is just words. But when you pray, it becomes prayers and sanctified thoughts that are being taken to the Lord. So he's saying, even with your speech, speak it. Talk. But when it says seasoned with salt, he's saying that there's some content to it. It isn't just thoughts and prayers. It's prayers to the one true living God. It's speech that actually declares something about God. Again, as I've said recently, getting Jesus on the scoreboard. Acknowledging there's a creator. Acknowledging there's a protector. Acknowledging, you know, going back to that, well, you know, it appears that God does answer prayer. Another person puts it like this: this saltiness is wit, having some wit in our speech that we, as one person put it, saving grace of common sense that we snap up the opportunity. Again, one person, as I was reading, said, you know, the earlier part of this, Paul is doing direct evangelism. He's just speaking the word, wanting to make it clear. We also have responsive evangelism, where a door is opened. Someone says something that we can then respond with speech, savored with salt, that gives God the glory. So that's what he's saying. Particularly, it's our speech to others who may not be Christians. That because of our steadfastly in prayer, because we're spending time in the Word, because we're thinking and praying and preparing through prayer, that we can then walk in wisdom and have something to say, snapping up the opportunity. And so ultimately what we're doing here is, as Peter would say in 1 Peter 3:15, in your hearts, regard Christ the Lord as holy, ready at any time to give a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. As we continue steadfastly in prayer, then we'll be able to do that. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. We'll be ready. To give a defense. I'm going to close with an illustration I heard as I was preparing this week. There's actually a theologian that my pastor in David Dively in Louisville gave all of us of his the ministers he helped mentor this book by Helmut Thielicke. That they translated from German. He was a German pastor in the 20th century. He might have lived a little bit into the 21st century. But he tells a story of, it appears a Christian wife with an unbelieving husband. And he's using this as an example. The minister that used this illustration is using it as an example of, in her own marriage, in her last moments of her life, she let her speech be gracious, seasoned with salt. So she is dying, And her husband, who doesn't know the Lord, is there with her. And she says to him, one of the last things she said to him, if you know what it is to have a Savior on your last journey, then you also would make this journey. She said to him, if you, and she's looking up at her husband as she's dying, if you just knew what it was like to have a Savior on one's last journey, then you too would make this journey. Now, her husband, honestly, God hadn't given him the understanding yet, but he goes to Helmut Thielicke and says, Pastor, look, I got to ask you this. My wife, right before she died, she said to me, if you know what it's like to have a Savior on your last journey, then you too would make this journey. Well, can you guess what that pastor did? He shared the gospel, and her last words were just enough to give her husband the impetus to go see this pastor. And then he could be led to Christ so that he might, as his wife, even on her deathbed, was wanting for him to come with her. She knew at that moment he wasn't prepared yet to come with her. But perhaps now he is with her. Friends, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of your time. And oh, what a great thing it is that we have the Lord Jesus, and we can do everything giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Lord, thank you for your word. I pray that you would apply it now to each of us. Help us take these simple instructions, these nuts and bolts of the Christian life. Each of us probably have different particular aspects where you can apply this. Please apply it to each of us. Grow us in your wisdom and truth. And if you're pleased, even make us more like Jesus. We pray in His name. Amen.